Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. We are starting the last chapter of Ephesians. And we're soon to return back to Genesis. But, in some ways, he may be saving the best to last. And as we see Ephesians chapter 6, we pick up again with the theme that the church has a certain way that we're supposed to do things, which is different than the world does things. Therefore, we find our instructions on how it's supposed to look. We looked last week about marriage and about how the husband and a wife interacts. And now he brings in the children. I find it amazing. It says, children, obey your parents. The simplicity of God's Word sometimes is outstanding. We know who he's talking to, don't we? Children. The thing that's mind-boggling to me is, how did he expect children to hear about this? Because by this point in the service, children are either moved out or they're conked out. We're not sure they're going to hear this. Which gives me the conviction that this is really for parents to build into their understanding so that they can deliver to their parents, to their children at a different date. There'll be a time when every parent, every Christian parent, hopefully, will recite this verse to their children. Do you know the Bible says, obey your parents? And that's the right thing to say. I think it's an excellent thing to say. How many of you ever had your parents tell you that? Yeah. We need to use that. Because when we raise our children, we don't just say what we think, we say what God thinks. And that's what we're going to find right here in the text. What does God think about how children ought to be raised? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now notice in the Lord's there, and then at the last verse, verse 4 of our text today, it says the admonition of the Lord. So if you're going to have a Christian family and you're going to raise kids, the discussion ought to be a lot about a person who is referred to as the Lord. The difference between a regular home and a Christian home is the Lord is the boss of a Christian home. The Lord is the center of a Christian home. The Lord is the one who helps us know what to do in a Christian home. He's our leader. We see it right there in the text, at the beginning and at the end. Children, obey your parents. Well, you say, well, pastor, does that mean since we're not children, we can go to sleep? No, you missed that. I just said, you're going to need to deliver this message. I'm just handing it to you. You take it to them. But actually, after studying the text and really desiring to share with you as adults, I'm going to make this work for you. I'm going to try to bring this to a place where you realize your responsibilities as a parent, because children many times are like the old saying, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And many times parenting is really caught more than it's taught. They become a lot like us. So a lot of this we can draw from, as we find it says, children, obey. The word obey there is linked very closely to one of our sensories. And that is our ears. It talks about listening. It could easily say, children, pay attention and listen closely when your parents speak. Boy, wouldn't that be a nice thing? Right? Yeah, absolutely. Because if we're not listening, we're probably not going to be obeyed. So it means to pause and listen to. It means to simply turn your ears on. You know, put the volume, bring the volume up, listen. It may mean you need to take the earbuds out for a minute, and then you can put them back in after that. But it means to listen. Okay, obey your parents. Now, I think it's pretty interesting that in our society today that there's a struggle and a battle raging, and that is, who do the kids belong to? I think it's pretty clear from the Word of God that children belong to their parents. And the parents belong to their children. Because now the children are being told, your parents, as though they are something that you own. It's a good thing. Right? You have a set of parents. God gave you those. And you're supposed to listen to them. Now, it doesn't mean that the church family can't help out in raising your kid. Because it's best when in a Christian family or a church family is there to assist them. I'm hoping and praying that all of you will commit to pray every day this week for Katie. Every day. Because there's going to be some decisions made. There's going to be some difficulties for him because he stood out now and said, I want to be counted for the Lord. I am the Lord's. And the devil doesn't like that because he wants them all for himself. So we pray for him as a church family, which means that a child has parents, but also parents could use some help. And that's why we're there for them, to help them. Sometimes we get involved in saying, well, that's my kid, don't you ever tell him anything. Unfortunately, we've seen that more and more in churches. We were shocked when we first got into being a senior pastor from youth pastor to senior pastor. And one of the first things we ran against was some kid was tearing through the church, yelling and screaming. And we just stopped the kid and said, hey, don't run through the church like that. Don't scream. That's for outside. And the parents chewed us out because you're not their parent. Don't tell them. That's not what the text is saying. It doesn't mean that you can't teach your child to respect other adults. But your children are yours, and the parents are their children. They own them. We can all be working together, and a church can aid in that. But primary responsibility is the parents. And he goes on to say, listen to your parents, obey your children, your parents in the Lord. In the Lord, what does that mean? Your focus as a child, as you obey, is usually staying away from spankings or punishments or grounded or time out or whatever it might be your discipline device. But what the text is saying is children need to be brought around to the point where they're more concerned about what the Lord thinks than about what's going to happen on their backside. Somehow that is the goal. As parents, if we are doing a good job, some at some point, they will be grieved when the Spirit of God is grieved. That's what we want. In the Lord, for this is right. This is right means there is a right and wrong, correct? Well, is that a big assumption to say when it says for this is right? Well, that means it's not wrong. Then if there's right and wrong, then the world must be wrong when they say there is no right and wrong. Crazy stuff, isn't it? I'm glad that God is clear on what is right. It's right for children to obey. Let's keep moving. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, obviously, to honor your father and mother is one of the Ten Commandments. You know which one it is? It's not the first one. It's like the fifth one. So why did he say it's the first one? It's the first one with a promise. And it's very important for children. It's probably a primary one for our child. They can forget about all that other coveting your neighbor's stuff. Focus right now on obeying your parents, honoring your parents. And the word honor here is different than the idea of the obey. And the honor is a reverence, something that they get the reality of your position. And I think it reflects a little bit on the whole concept of in the Lord, as we just looked at, in proximity. Why? Because at that point, your kids need to realize that their parents were chosen by God. You realize that? No child can choose their parents. That's the frustrating truth. Because if we would, we'd probably choose different ones. Because I know I told my parents that. Probably wasn't very honoring to them. But I did. I said, yeah, I wish I had such and such as parents. They're a lot better. But God gives us those parents, and in doing that, we ought to honor them as they are from the Lord. I think it has the idea of bringing things into focus with who the Lord is. When we discipline our kids and ask them to obey, we ought to do it in such a way that they get the connection between God, God's Word, and everything else. I think I might share. I know time is kind of elapsing quickly. I want to share a little note I got from my daughter one time. I don't know if I did that before or not. I saved this from a long time ago. She's 26 now. This looks like about 8. As a pastor, one thing that happens often when you have children is they misbehave right at the wrong time. And many times, right before an elder meeting. This was one of the cases. And I had to go, yet I had to discipline. I was stuck. And it was ugly. And elder meetings usually go late in the night and child would be in bed by that time. But it goes this way. Dear Dad, I'm sorry that I was sassy. I'm going to try to do better. And I know that you only spank me because you love me and want me to do the right thing. And I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do and not what the devil wants me to do. I hope you can forgive me. And thank you for raising me in a Christian home. And remember, I'll always love you. Love, Ellen. And she writes in big letters, I love Dad. I think that's what this text is trying to say. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Connect it to the reality that there's something bigger here. The Lord wants you to obey. And if we can do it that way, then they have an easier time honoring their father and mother. I think it's kind of neat that he says father and mother and doesn't say honor your parents. Don't you think it's kind of cool? Because he already said obey your parents, and that's kind of harsh, and everybody doesn't like that one anyway. But honor, we all like honor. And if it said honor your parents, then you could say, okay, I choose to honor mom, not dad. Right? Yeah, he always like to choose between, get between. But here it says father and mother, which means both of them. And it's a commandment with a promise. What is the promise? Twofold promise. The first one is that it may be well with thee. What does that mean? Is that you will be prosperous. Okay? That you will, actually, good word would be that you will thrive. And then he says that your life will be, that you will live long upon the earth. What does it say here? That thou mayest liveth long on the earth. So that's survive. So he puts it backwards. We usually say survive and thrive, but this says thrive and survive. Your survival may be linked directly to how much you honor your parents. That's crazy, isn't it? Well, I can remember a couple instances, and I won't have time to tell you the stories, but there's two times when I almost died because I would not honor my parents' wishes. They've always told me nothing ever good happens after midnight. And I told them they were old fuddy-duzzies and they don't know what's fun. But I was 21 and I can do what I want. So at 21 years old, I was July 4th, 1981. That's how old I am. I stayed out all night with a friend till about almost 1 o'clock. And I went out to the parking lot after playing video games at the bowling alley. Five guys beat the living tar out of me. Because they liked my red shorts, I was wearing. That's all they said. I was woke up to a realization, you know, maybe Dad has something. Another time, Dad always had this weird saying about driving. And if you ever see me drive, you know I didn't listen. But Dad always said, just because the light's green doesn't mean you can go. I said, you're a Cajun, aren't you? You're backwards. And I didn't honor him. I dishonored him. In fact, one time there was a green arrow on a high divided highway. And a green arrow, that means I can go. I turned in my brand new Escort. Next thing I know, I'm in the hospital. And they're talking about needing donors for kidneys. They cut me wide open. Just I didn't make it. Had a blood disease. Lasted for 18 months. All because I thought Dad was stupid. He might have had something there. If I had just looked for a moment, I'd have realized that truck was not going to stop. So we honor our parents, and yes, we'll survive better that way. I've tested that. I'm here to tell you. You'll survive longer if you honor your parents. And then fourthly, it says, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Provoke not your children to wrath. What does provoking look like? term exasperate is a good word, right? How do we provoke? Sometimes we call our kids names that aren't pleasant, that we should not call, right? That's provoking them. I find it interesting, it says fathers provoke not. Why would it say, now wait a minute, it went parents, then it said father, mom, mother, and now it's picking on us guys. I'm here to tell you that some ladies fit in that category as well as some of the dads. But generally speaking, dads have a way of trying to get things done too quickly. And when you shortcut raising a child, you provoke them to wrath. Sometimes children take more time. More time than you think you have. But it takes time. So usually the ladies are better at taking that time. And it says here, provoke not whose children? Provoke not their mind? They're mine. They're mine. Yeah, you wanted them. You brought them into this life. You're now responsible for them. Boy, if we could just get that communicated to the young people today. They're yours. And then you're going to pick on them? They didn't ask to be born. They didn't start this whole process. You're the one who did it. So you're responsible. Don't be sitting around there provoking those kids. A lot of ways we provoke. Unfortunately, I think sometimes the ladies are better until it gets to teenage years. I have found that many times when a young person grows up, a child grows up and gets in their teenage years, the man does a better job. That's prejudice, I understand, or whatever you call that stuff, chauvinistic, that's it. Because ladies sometimes talk too much to the child and want to tell them all the whys. And the child's already heard these things already. And they don't want to listen anymore. That's where the guys can give you a little advice, ladies, and that is simply, don't talk about the whys anymore, just say the whats. Just say, what did I tell you? And then let them tell you what you told them, instead of you doing it. Because by that time, they got everything recorded. They can play it back for you, word perfect, and the inflections, and the little hand motions. Did you say, now what did I tell you about that? And that helps not provoke them, because if you go over it again, they're just like, whatever. And I think that's what we need to pull it together. When the kids are young, the ladies can really help us be more patient, because it takes so much time with younger children. Older ones don't want that time. Just get to the point. And it's, no, you're not going. That's to the point. Well, we'll see. We'll talk about it. Let me see. We'll might make it. No. He decides it. And he goes on. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Nurture and admonition. Again, focusing the Christian home different than the world's home. Nurture, it has the idea of the whole training or education of a child. It actually talks about working in the mind and in the morals. A connection. Nurturing, it has the idea of preparing them in a spiritual way. It's truly what's happened against in our public school system today is taking away that training. That we're not nurturing our young people in public school today because we've outlawed it. Therefore, we wonder why they don't have good morals. We wonder why they don't understand right and wrong because we told them there is no such thing. But nurturing says there is a such thing, and let me show you what it looks like. Generating a value system. That's what you're doing when you nurture a child. You show them a value system. You explain it to them. You use words and you demonstrate it. And you show them what your values are and they catch it from you. And then when it says admonition, that talks about talking. There's a lot of talking in admonition. You can't admonish somebody hardly without using words. And it has the word, it's similar to the word exhortation. It's actually the word that's used for certain kinds of counseling, noethetic counseling, where it's a confrontational kind of thing. And it also goes with the gift of exhortation, the idea, the concept of, okay, son, you made a mess of things. But let me show you how you do it right. Before you get started, you've got to get prepared this way. Then step one is this, step two is this, and step three is that. And you kind of line them out a little bit. That's admonition. Where you help them see where they went wrong and how they would have done it right if they'd done it right. Well, that takes some time, doesn't it? I know lots of friends of mine, and I have been guilty as well, have difficulty with letting your child like even mow your grass. Because they don't do it right. They did it one time and they didn't do it right, so they're done. Admonition goes one step further and says, okay, you didn't do it right. But let me show you. This is how you do it. You make sure the cutter's on this level. I want it on this level, all four of them. And then you make sure that you watch out for Mom's rose bush because we get yelled at when you don't. And then it goes step by step through the whole process. So at the end of admonition, you have someone who's mature who can actually operate without you there. And then it says, the admonition where of the Lord. Where does that come from? That's the Bible. That's why Paul said to Timothy, I know what kind of faith you have because your grandmother and your mother put it there. You know the Word because you've been taught ever since you were a little boy, Timothy. Now get with the program. Do what you've learned. That's the admonition of the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed. And it's profitable. What is it profitable for? Admonishing your children. So that they may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. That's why Awana is a good program. Because it takes the Word and it gives them something to remember. Oh yeah, the Bible says this. That's where I went wrong. Children are gifts from the Lord, but also they are stewardships from the Lord. Let's look real quickly about the Christian home. I believe the Christian home is made out of three different eyes here. One is it's all about investing. Investing. To have a Christian home is not just to say you go to church, but that is a good investment. There's more there. Secondly, a Christian home or Christian parenting is all about inspiring. Inspiring. And thirdly, instructing. Let's talk briefly about investing. How do you invest into your children? Well, I think children need three different parental controls. Three different things that parents bring to them. And first, they need parents who are good at detection. Yes, you have to inspect what you expect. Parents need to be awake and alert in the home. Otherwise, how do you know if they're obeying or not obeying? If you're blind, if you're not looking. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. What does that infer? That they could possibly disobey. Otherwise, they wouldn't command it. And when they disobey, someone needs to admonish them. That wasn't the way to do that. So detection. Secondly, deflection. Deflection. It's a really good art form. If someone pays you a compliment, what can you do? You can say, praise God. God did that. Because everything that is praiseworthy in your life, it came from God. Because without God, you'd be in jail, dead, or you know, who knows where, but it wouldn't be a good place. You probably wouldn't be here. Your children ought to see you deflecting. They ought to understand that the way you live your life is all about the Lord. So you teach your children to obey you, but in the Lord. They're not just obeying you, they're obeying the Lord. And when you praise them for obeying, praise them, I know the Lord is pleased with the way you behave today. That's good. Deflect. Bring it into a different view. Not just, you know, oh, daddy's real pleased, and when daddy's pleased, I dole out the money. That's not what they need to hear. The Lord is smiling upon you today because you obeyed me when I asked you to clean your room. It's a great thing. Thirdly, you invest in them not only with detection and deflection, but direction. You tell them, for this is right. They need direction. It's unbelievable how much stuff kids don't know. It's shocking. Renee tells me stories all the time about her kindergarten class. And she asks them to do something, and they're like, we don't know what that is. In kindergarten, they haven't learned much yet. And then I get on the board in math class in ninth grade, Algebra 1, and I go, okay, this is a Cartesian plane. Ain't it beautiful? And I say, and they say, a what kind of what is that? And this is how you plot a point. This is the plot point, 1, 3. That's too hard. Can you slow down, Mr. DeVille? I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I think I was born knowing that. We assume people know more, especially children know more than they. And so we get on them and we provoke them because we assume they knew better and they just did it anyway. When many times they're ignorant. They just don't even know. And I don't mean ignorant to be mean to them, but just simply they're just totally unaware. They're clued out. You need to clue them in. That's direction. Secondly, Christian parenting is all about inspiring. I think we could talk about this for an hour, but we're out of time. But good parents, good Christian parents, a good Christian home is a home that lifts the spirit of the children to where they're thinking that they're, sky's the limit. You're not saying to them, oh, Dad, I was thinking about getting into medicine. Oh, you're terrible at math. You'll never do it. If you had a parent, if you had a mom or dad, who when you had an idea, they said to you, go for it. Wasn't that great? You remember that feeling? That was wonderful. That's what a Christian home is supposed to be about. We inspire them. Three things we inspire them to do. Number one, we inspire them to submit. Teach them how what obedience looks like. Inspire them to that they need to do the commandments of God. And this one commandment with a promise is a good one to start. We can inspire them. Hey, when you obey God, not only is God pleased with you, but your life goes better. Secondly, we inspire them to succeed. To succeed. That it may be well with thee is the concept of success. It's thriving. It's to do really well. We inspire them. Say, hey, learn to obey. Not only that, but know that God's way is going to lead to excitement, not just survival, but thriving with God. And then thirdly, we need to teach them how to survive. It's my dad saying, not anything good happens after midnight. Yep, he was right. I sure would have had a list, you know, pains in my life if I'd have listened to that. Look before you turn on a green arrow. What are you talking about, Dad? Oh, I know now. I got it. Third, Christian parenting is all about instructing. We instruct them. How do we instruct them? Well, we rear them. I like that term. Rather than raise kids, you raise cattle. You raise pigs. You should rear children. It should be reared by the parents' acceptance. The first thing they should know is that you accept them. There should never be a time in your discipline or anything else that a child is provoked because they're not sure that you're going to keep your ownership of them. That you're thinking about, yeah, you know, I'm disowning you because you're worthless. I think that's what provokes. There's lots of things that provoke, but that's definitely one of them. When a child feels like somehow you're going to push them out. Secondly, you instruct them in such a way that they know about their parents' acceptance and their adoration. Their adoration. Yes, that parents adore their kids. Their grandkids more, but their kids. But also, we want our children to catch on to what we adore. We should adore our spouse. It's one of the best things for kids, is to grow up in a home where mama adores dad and dad adores mom. That's going to be healthy for them. But also, it's a great home when mom and dad adore the Lord Jesus Christ. That we adore Him. That we're devoted completely to Him because they don't understand devotion unless you show it to them. No wonder so many kids struggle with the aspect of devotion. When moms and dads leave each other over a drop of a bucket, just a drop in the bucket, whatever it is. You've got to be committed. You've got to be devoted. It goes for our relationship with Christ, reading the Word, prayer, going to church. Those things show devotion. And lastly, they need to be instructed with admonitions from the Lord. Tell them how they messed up and how they can do better. This is how it works. And if you're going to be able to instruct them, you better have some instructions. Which means, as a parent, that means I better get myself in the book, because when they say, "Dad, what does God think about this? Or is it a sin if I do that?" Well, call a preacher. He'll tell you. Well, make sure to go ask the Sunday school teacher. Well, that's good. But it's the parent's role. It's mom and dad's role to say, "God has said this. This is how you do it." So it's really incumbent upon us to really learn about what God has said. Well, I wish all the children were here, because I would be very clear. God has said, obey your parents in the Lord. But we're here as parents. Therefore, we can tell our children, God has said. Won't you do that? If you're here today and you say, "Well, Pastor, all this sounds good, but I don't know the Bible." Well, won't you commit today to knowing it? That's where it starts. Because parenting is mostly caught, not taught. And if you don't have a life, if you don't have a spiritual walk, then you can talk till you're blue in the face and your kids won't buy it. Because they're looking at you to see if it's authentic. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ, you are powerless to have a Christian home. You are powerless because you have not invited the one who makes it a Christian home, Jesus Christ Himself. Won't you trust Him today?